Did you know that the projected bill for re-establishing the Cutty Sark as a tourist attraction stands at £34 million? Over £20 million of this is public funding. As the only surviving tea clipper, the ship is clearly of national importance. It's unfortunate that she's recently been severely damaged by fire, because little of what a future visitor may see will be the actual vessel which raced home from China with the Lapsang. The situation raises a sea of issues. Rather than the extensive restoration planned, a second body of informed opinion holds that Cutty Sark would be better conserved as she is. A third group would have her broken up or deconstructed under rigorous guidelines, so that lessons will not be lost. On the face of it, you pay your money, many of us will, and you take your choice. The reality is not so simple. Up in Scotland, the only other British clipper is quietly subsiding into dust. Lacking metropolitan interest and what Nelson's captains called patronage, the emigrant ship City of Adelaide, which carried many a hopeful colonist to South Australia, is comparatively unheard of in the Northern Hemisphere. Permission has been sought to demolish her. Funds are thin, the pressure is on, and only the efforts of our National Historic Ships body stand between her and the knackers. If a choice of restoration were on the cards, it's arguable that more of the City of Adelaide remains than her younger sister down in Greenwich. You might by now be questioning the relevance of expensive antique ships in times as dire as these. If you feel that money on this scale would be better spent on humanity suffering in a straitened world, I for one wouldn't argue. Society needs all the help it can get, so it is with some relief that I report on a fourth accepted way of preserving our maritime inheritance. The stepladder of heritage begins at the bottom with deconstruction. Next comes conservation, followed by restoration. At the top, from the sailor's point of view, blows a breath of fresh air. Conserve the original, then send a replica to sea. It's been said with some authority that Britain could build an ocean-capable clipper and have change from the cost of Cutty Sark. You have to ask whether that might not be better value. Imagine a sharp clipper, her perfectly proportioned rig uncompromised by political correctness, with no extra deckhouses and a hold for dry cargo. With a sheer to inspire poets in an age when ships look like apartment blocks and the red duster whipping out from a tapering spanker gaff. She could come up to London, sure, but she could also show what Britain is really made of in ports far away. Talk is cheap, however, and such a project must either be externally funded or managed with a touch of genius. In any case, why should anyone outside the seafaring community take the slightest notice? The answer lies with a generation whose needs outstrip those of two ancient ships by an incalculable factor. Whatever the reason, we all know that our cities and countryside teem with a growing army of dangerously disaffected youth. Many end up in institutions where they cost us the taxpayers about £1,000 a week to keep under lock and key. Experience shows that once safe inside, they complete their education at the feet of masters in the school of crime. Once released, they reoffend in large numbers. Their life is set on a path to nowhere, at the expense of us all. The best thing the sea can offer these young people today is a passage on a sail training ship if they're lucky enough to secure a bursary, if indeed they'd want it anyway. There could, however, be a thrilling alternative. Cargoes exist that can be viably transported by long-range sailing vessels. Were our clipper ship to carry the world's merchandise to Australia and back via the Southern Ocean and Cape Horn, manned by young offenders mixed with sailing professionals, a crew would quickly learn their own value. Respect for others would follow as the night the day. Elemental danger, exuberance, humility, and self-esteem. These are all well known to the sailor. They are also fundamentals sadly missing for those who grow up with no father and no community, under the influence of drug pushers and gang leaders. Such basics of life are self-taught by harsh reality on the upper yards in a gale of wind, where there can be no compromise and where there is nowhere to hide. The result is simple. Pride in being part of a team with a serious physical job to do. Given a kickstart from sponsors or public funding, such a ship can be built commercially, but she cannot pay her way from cargo alone. Add the cash largely wasted by locking away young offenders and the books balance. The mathematics of such a project were worked out exhaustively over a decade ago by the Renaissance Trust. They were scrapped because the government of the day feared the backlash if a lad were lost. Of equal concern was a putative press reaction about luxury cruises. For the idea to be reborn, someone high in the Home Office must have the courage to look beyond these side issues and the vision to open the prison door. Given the crew and the funding, the rest would surely follow. Then we could again see proper vessels being built, creating jobs and fresh skills in deprived areas, a new generation of real sailors, a green transport system, and hope for the hopeless. All for less than one thousandth of what it cost to bail out Northern Rock.